It's time for Help Me Rocks, starring the goddess of help, Knee Coffee's artist-in-residence, Rox of Spaz House. This episode's special guest expert is the Unique Geek's very own, Sir. Got a problem? Give us a call, 888-665-8825. Now, she's here to solve your problems, Rox of Spaz House.
Thank you, Don Pardo, for that lovely introduction. And today's episode is the keynote address for Help Me Rox. I'm Rox of Spaz House, and I am joined with Sir. Good evening, Sir. How are you?
Good evening, Rox. I'm well. Very good. Thank you.
And our lovely sound engineer is John Boutel of the Unique Geek. How are you?
I am fine, madam. How are you?
I'm fine. Excellent. So today was kind of neat because more tech stuff is coming out, such as the new iPad for more help in the future.
Man, what's that called? What's the new name?
I heard a couple things. It's either iPad HD or the new iPad.
I don't know what the official one is, but the only one that I heard was the new iPad.
The new iPad.
Rox,
yes.
That could be your first help. What should they have named it?
I think they should have called. I don't know if this one has the Siri in it. I didn't watch the full keynote, so I couldn't get over the "we are now in a post PC world." But here's the thing, people, is we're live people opposed to Siri, who will eventually take over your house and lock you out of your house when she gains control of your security system. You have been warned. Unlike her or it, we're actually real people helping you. So, what they should have named it, they should have called it Snow Leopard iPad, I think.
Snow leopard. Steve actually sent us in a question, and he wants to know what you're an expert in.
I'm an expert in multiple fields. I am an expert.
How about one of them?
Drinking beer.
That's always handy.
I think so.
What else, sir?
I would consider myself an expert in Star Wars Die 6 role-playing game.
Oh, wait, really? We've actually been playing that. You should show up on Gru Cafe once in a while.
D6. D6 version, not the D6.
Oh, I know. No, I know. That's what we're playing.
Yeah, West End Games version.
Yeah.
And I would also actually consider myself an expert with regard to the field of auto and property insurance.
Wow. There we have it, people.
All these specific
auto insurance.
So, Rox, do you want to get to your first phoned in? By the way, what number can they call?
Please call us at the 888-665-8825 is the number you can call and chat with us.
And you can call live, and we can take your call on the air, so if you wish to. But first, Rox, we do have a couple of calls here. Let's take the first one that was called into our voicemail box.
Hey, Help Me Rox, it's me, cynical 13-year-old now, and I've got a question about a girl. See, she's been sending me all these messages, you know, and I'm sure you know what those are, and I really like her and I've told her that, but she's going out with another dude. What do I do? How do I handle this? And would being a geek impede me at all in this? Should I lie about my geekhood? She already knows, but I could say it was a joke or something. Anyway, great show, keep it up, see you around, thanks.
Help me, Rox. My question is about carving out more time for...
One question at a time. Let her answer, man.
So, he likes her, but she has another guy. Is that it? Yeah.
Yes. Okay. She has a boyfriend, apparently. Yeah.
So, apparently, he's like a jock or somebody that's emo, more emo than he, right?
Why do you say that?
Because it seems like she's drawn to the bad boys, it seems. And we know cynical 13-year-olds who used to, I think so, yeah.
That's bad now?
Yeah.
We'll just make up facts as we go along.
I know.
She's the expert.
There we go.
She's the expert, sir.
That doesn't matter here.
We're not talking about car insurance right now.
No, okay. So, he likes her. Here's the thing is you can always play the I'm the good guy for a while. You are 13. I'm sure she's going to have a stipulation of things like, oh, you need to fill out an interview questionnaire to meet my folks and a Skype interview and maybe a blood test as well. So I would almost just sort of chalk it up as being friends with her for now. What do you think, sir? You're a guy. Did you have this problem?
I have actually been in a situation similar to his where you're the guy on the outside looking in.
Mm-hmm.
And what I did is I exploited the weakness of the boyfriend in all the areas that he was essentially deficient in. So, like, this was in high school. So, you know, at, you know, different clubs would sell flowers to raise money, do like a fundraiser, and the club people would have to deliver the flower to them. Well, I'd buy her some flowers and have those delivered because I knew her boyfriend wouldn't do that. So, you know, you make him look bad. Of course, it raises your standing. It puts them in a rocky position. You just have to be there to swoop in to take the girl when she finally cracks and dumps him. And you have to be able to whip the other guy's ass, pretty much.
Yeah, so here you go. You need to learn self-defense.
And I don't think there's any reason why this guy would not be full-on geek, especially if she knows. I mean, right now is the golden age for geeks.
It is.
Live it up, dude. By the time you're in college, I think this phase is going to be over, and it's back to the closet.
But, yeah, because here's the thing. You can always use your intelligence to help yourself in a situation like this. A classic new line is, your boyfriend will eventually work for me. Just think of it.
Yeah. That's,
if he's not that smart, if the boyfriend or that guy she likes is not very smart, use that to your advantage.
Now, actually, the cynical 13-year-old is in the chat room, and
we
have some more information.
Oh, good.
I shall read from the chat room. Allow me to go over here where the monitor is.
Because the techno cave the moat techno cave is so huge, you have to move to an entirely new supercomputer.
That's pretty much it. First of all, he does mention that the other gentleman is, in fact, a jock, so you called that right.
Nailed that one.
Now's your time, though. Now is your time.
He did point out that he is not, in fact, emo.
Okay. Well, yeah, okay.
And then also, by signals, and this is probably going to help you. By signals, he means sitting on his lap and kissing him.
Yeah, that's pretty much, she's laying it out there for you.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Bring your D&D books to school.
I don't know about that, Rox. I might have to say that, I'm sorry, you are the expert. I will defer to your judgment.
I'm going to veto that one as a current other expert. So.
Yeah.
Last but not least, he also mentions that she is working on a book right now, and he's editing it.
Wow. That's great.
She definitely sees you as smart, so that's good.
Yes, she does. She does. And, you know, throw in that little line of you might be able to get an agent. That's always a big important thing, is agents now.
All right.
Or become an agent.
Are you ready to move on?
Be a literary agent.
Are you ready to move on to our new segment? It's called Rocks vs. the Experts.
Yes.
And our our guest expert has a couple of questions. Why don't you go with the first one, and then we will do another call, and then we'll do the second one later. So this is Rocks versus the experts. In this case, Dear Abby.
Ooh.
Okay, here is the letter that Miss Landers, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm sorry, you're right. This is Ann Landers. I apologize.
Ann Landers, not Abigail. Yes, Abigail is Abby.
Let's give credit to Miss Landers. Yeah. Here's the letter. I've always regarded most marital mix-ups as very humorous until now, that is, when the noose is tightening around my own neck. We've been married 10 years and have two sons. I like auto racing, but my wife has no interest in it, so I've always gone without her. I've fallen for a woman with three children who is also very fond of auto racing. Her husband is ignorant and impossible. This may sound corny, but I think she would be a wonderful companion for me. I suppose you think I'm a louse, but I am stumped. I would like to have your advice on this problem. Okay, now it's your turn, Marox, to tell us what you would do, and we will compare and contrast that to what the mighty Ann Landers answered.
Wow. All right, dear louse. I think I've read this
before. The country
before.
Of louse?
Yes. Wow. Sometimes you just can't get over that hurdle of your wife not liking auto racing. You can always try to do something for her if she likes the opera or something or a play. You know, go to one of her events first. You know, try the counseling. She always likes saying that, but you know what? Sometimes that really doesn't work. Cause it sounds like you've sort of already went, oh, I'll take on three new kids. So, you know what? You sound like you really want auto racing all the time. Go with the three kids. Because then you can get your, you know, Daytona 500 tickets. Always get those a year in advance because they sell out really quick. And, you know, so.
Okay.
You know, counseling's not going to help you now.
Shall I read the response given?
Yes.
Okay. The response given. Time wounds all heals, and you'll get yours. Ooh. Do you realize that there are five children involved in your little racetrack romance? Don't be surprised if you wake up one of these days and wish you had your wife and sons back. You are flirting with a muddy track on Black Friday, and the way you're headed, you will get exactly what you deserve. So a little bit different there.
Yeah, it is.
I may have missed this, but Rox, you suggested go with the chick.
Sure.
And she said you're
the opposite.
She said
right.
The opposite. I know that.
All right.
But she didn't do her normal. Oh, go to counseling. They're beyond that.
All right.
She wants. Can I ask what year that was?
I don't have the year there.
Oh, okay. Because you know, normally, defense. I mean, here she's condoning a shit marriage.
Okay, fair enough. Any advice, Serve?
I know nothing.
All right, let's.
Unhappy with your wife that doesn't like auto racing. That's an underlying current.
Okay, let's move to the next phoned-in question. Again, what's that number they can call if they want to
If they want to call, 888-665-8825. Call now. Actually, can we skip? I actually do have an email myself.
Oh, sure.
Okay. This was emailed to me by Dan, and he wrote into helpmerocks@needcoffee.com. So if you want, you can always email us. Hello all. Great job on the first episode. So I've got a question for Rocks. My paperback copy of the expanded stand is so well read, the cover has fallen off. This bothers me, and I want to replace the cover. What can I do? Your / fic fan, Dan. Well, Dan, couple things.
Dan.
Oh, Dan. I don't want to know about the slash fig, but, you know.
You don't really, honestly.
Probably not.
Wikipedia.com if you want to see Dan's
wonderful.
That
was down. But anyway, what you can do, Dan, couple things. You could take your book to a Kinko's or your local print shop, and what you can do is ask them to, I'm assuming it's just the front cover. So a couple things that you can do, and this is real help here, not, you know, only because I know how to do stuff like this. You can actually get the book cover laminated, the front, and do like a 3 mil, so it's like pliable, but put it on the edge and have the rest of the, do it landscape. So that the cover is on to the right, so you can actually score, not cut through, but score the laminate and just sort of wrap around the book. Or, this is a little trickier, have the print shop cut your book. Now, first off, I'd go to a library first, because if you do cut the spine, so you can actually have the front cover, a bit of the spine, and the back. Because what you can do is then glue on a piece of paper and then glue a new cover basically back onto the book. You may want to check with a library that actually does do repairs, because you can't really use Elmer's glue. There's too much water and the water will damage the book. But there is a type of Elmer's glue that's made for librarians, and it's a little bit more pliable. So you can actually ask them to cut the book, keep the spine, maybe sand it down a little bit, get another piece of paper or cardstock, glue, so you actually have like a cover, and then glue and that mess onto the loose pages. And you may want to like rubber band it so it doesn't go all over, or you can just buy yourself a new book. There you go. My slash fic fan, Dan.
Now, what would you do, Serv?
Yeah, what would you do?
Well, this is an area that we already had an expert in tonight, Rox. You know, she is an expert. She is an expert in this. So that is one of my areas where I am not an expert. So what I would do is I would glue, I would pick up either a new copy of Playboy or Penthouse. And I would glue the cover of either one of those magazines onto the front of the book, because that would look cool in a 1980s teen film kind of way.
Oh, that would. Just think of all the looks. Oh, you could get instant dating if you get onto an airplane with that new cover on the stand. The stand.
All right.
Penthouse letters.
Dear like penthouse letters. I never thought I would have to bind a book. I never thought binding would happen to me, but oh wait, that's a completely different kind of binding.
Binding.
Dear Librarians Weekly. I never thought this would happen to me.
All right. Here is our next question.
Help me, Rocks. My question is about carving out more time for myself. I run my own business from home and have done so for about 8 years. I love my job. I love my work. I love my clients. But I am terrible about working too much and not having enough free time for myself. I think my last vacation was about 3 days long to visit my dad about 2 years ago. I try to take weekends off, but that time is usually spent with my husband or running errands. I'm also bad about putting everybody else first. I think the problem is I was taught I was not allowed to play until all my work was done and that there is always work to be done. I know this is screwed up thinking, but I'm hoping you can give me some advice on how to carve out some time for myself so I don't go crazy and stab people in the face one day. Thanks. Bye.
Get off that treadmill, little guinea pig woman. Here's the thing, is we're all stuck with that. You need to say no to people. As far as carving out time, I understand that. I wind up doing that too. It's like, oh, you know, if I get this point, get to point A, then I can surf on Twitter. But you know what? Just take it. Nobody's going to notice, you know. You say no to people. Also, having a TARDIS would be helpful because then you can go back in time to that certain point and finish up your work. That's always helpful.
Sir, do you know what a TARDIS is?
Oh, well then, okay, for him, he would have to take the Enterprise and...
Or get on Superman's back and have him go across the Earth's rotation.
So many times. There you go. Time travel.
Do I know what TARDIS actually stands for, or what a TARDIS is?
Just what TARDIS is would be surprising.
It's a machine that looks like a British police box that Doctor Who travels oftentimes with at least one companion with him all over the place, and I think it stands for time and relative. Dimensions in space.
Very good.
Oh, wow.
Very good.
For someone who has watched how many episodes of Doctor Who?
None.
Probably six.
Oh, okay.
Mostly Tom Baker.
And you were forced to?
But the reason I can say that is because Robot Chicken.
I
watch a lot of Robot Chicken, and that joke was on Robot Chicken just recently.
Just to go back to that one question, it's kind of funny. Since Apple has debuted the latest iPad, io9 has been making fun of the fact that here we have iPads that have been shown in Star Trek Next Generation, and yet nobody uses social networking. You know, that there's no, hey, here's a picture of my kid on another planet and stuff like that. Which projects to another point, there's no slacking in space. Everybody's diligent. Everybody's doing stuff.
In
so,
space, no one can hear you brood.
Little working hamster, just get off the treadmill. Just say no. Just, you know, go watch television. Oh, my gosh. You know what is a great time killer, hamster girl, is Real Housewives of New York. My sister will disagree, and she'll say of Beverly Hills. Go with New York. Learn how to slack time.
What about New Jersey?
That's what you need to do. No. I mean,
Atlanta?
The weird thing, there's too many folks. No, I don't like Atlanta.
You heard it here, folks. She doesn't like Atlanta.
I don't like the Real Housewives of Atlanta. I will watch Orange County, because that was the first one.
Okay, so now it's time for our other segment, Rocks vs. the Web, where we find some of the craziest questions asked on the web, and Rocks will try to solve them. This one is from Tim R. It does not really matter, because who the heck is Tim R.? He's somewhere on the web. I had chicken pox when I was younger, but they seem to have returned twice now, 2 months apart. I'm starting to get concerned, because I've had them this time for 2 weeks. From what I've read, they're only supposed to last, at most, 7 days. Good news is that the infection did not spread across my body. I guess since I had them when I was a kid, I'm only slightly open to infection. I only seem to get the sores below the waist, between my hips and knees. If someone could let me know if they've had chickenpox more than once, and if so, what did they do to get rid of the rash? My mom told me to try an oatmeal bath, but that's not working. Rocks.
Wow. Isn't that, shouldn't he see the health department for that?
I think that's a good call.
I think so. And apparently his mom doesn't know, really. I'd go to the health department. I really would. Tim, right now. We'll find you on the internet, and we will tell you. Or we'll contact the health department for you, and they will come and take you away, because we can't have that.
All right. Really. Do we know anyone at the CDC?
You know, I think we do. Place a phone call right now, and they'll find you, because they can. They can find everybody.
All right. By the way, you can also reach us on Skype via Need Coffee Live, all one word. You can call us on Skype via Need Coffee Live. Or, again, what's that number, Rox?
888-665-8825. Call now. For help me, Rox.
I have one other question that was asked on, let's see, I believe this is on Ask Yahoo. Which is worse, ignorance or apathy?
Oh, are those the two little children from the Ghost of Christmas Present that cling to him every year? Can't remember.
I believe you're correct.
Okay. Let's see. He said, what was it, ignorance and apathy?
Yes, which is worse, ignorance or apathy?
Let's see. Apathy, they really don't care. They're playing Skyrim. Ignorance is far worse. Because they just they can't help themselves. They can't help themselves out of these Skyrim problems. But apathy, I don't know. What do you think, Serv? I'll throw this one to you.
I would have to agree with you. I think ignorance is worse than apathy.
It's not bliss.
Well, it's bliss when you are the ignorant one. Mm-hmm. But when you're the one that has to deal with the ignorant one, it's nothing but frustration.
Yes.
That's why it's worse.
And with apathy, though, you can always guilt an apathetic person into movement.
I mean, an apathetic person, you know, if I have to interact with an apathetic person, mm-hmm. I really don't care. Because
right.
They don't care. Why
they
do I?
They don't care either. Yeah.
But if I have to interact with an ignorant person, that's, you know, that's the worst right there.
Yeah,
that's
there's no, you can't argue. There's no arguing. Just walk away and be apathetic.
And
Earl, don't go away mad.
Just go away.
From the guy that lives in 88.
all right, and our last question from Yahoo Answers is, also from Yahoo Answers, I should say, is if a vagina isn't used, can it heal up and close? That would be for you, Rox.
I know. That's a stunned silence.
For those of you not watching, you're missing out on.
Apparently, what was it, Tim R?
The best face I've ever seen.
Who was it? The chicken pot guy?
I believe so, yes.
Apparently, he's not dating her.
This is from, it looks like Doreen Crapper.
Oh, poor Doreen. No, it will not close up.
Unfortunate last name.
Yes, Doreen, it will not close up.
All right, now it's time to go back to our previous segment, which is Rox versus the... Oh, by the way, are you an expert in this area, Serv?
I am not, in fact.
There's a zipper. But, there's a zipper, I think, in there.
There might be.
Back to our previous segment, which is Rox versus the experts. I believe you have another question from Miss Ann Landers.
That's correct. Are you ready, Rox?
Yes.
Okay. 2 months ago, I met a man who seems very fond of me. He has 2 jobs, which is the reason he has never called me up on the phone or taken me out. He is very busy. He says he cares for me a great deal, but I see him only once a day when he delivers food at my home. I don't want to rush him into anything. What do you think?
Oh, the delivery man rings twice. He's cheating on you. Dear home delivery woman, waiting on her deliveries. He doesn't have 2 jobs. He's two-timing you. And why don't you just go out and meet other people instead of, you know, waiting for that filet mignon to come to your house? It's not going to go anywhere. So he's cheating on you.
Okay. So Rox says he's cheating on her.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This was the answer given by Ann Landers. What this man is delivering to your home sounds like baloney. I have a sneaking suspicion that your backdoor Romeo has a wife and a family, plus several other very good customers. Mm-hmm. You'd better forget about him and suggest that he leave whatever it is that he is delivering in a convenient place. He ought to stick to his commission as the bonus for his sales.
He's delivering, oh my gosh, it's Sam the Butcher delivering the meat.
Whoa. Ladies.
So that one, Rox was a lot closer to Ann Landers that time than in the previous one, where she couldn't have been much further apart.
Because I think she wrote that back in 1972 when the divorce rate was starting to creep up and they didn't know about, you know, Dr. Phil.
And don't we all wish we didn't know about Dr. Phil now?
I know.
Good point.
That would be genius. Okay, well, I don't have any other problems. Serve, do you have a problem that needs to be solved?
Huh, let me think here. Any problems? No, I can't think of any.
No problems at all, huh?
Well...
Not one. Not a single problem.
Well, you could plan my entire wedding for me. I mean, that has not been simple.
Rox, there you go.
Oh, your wedding?
Plan his wedding.
Okay, how far along are you?
Are you implying I'm pregnant? Or
pregnant? How far along in your wedding plan stages are... Did she get her book, her organizing book? Did you get one?
I don't think she has an organizing book, but she has drawn up some spreadsheets.
You know what? Just leave it in her hands. I'm not kidding. Just nod your head.
Your solution is no solution whatsoever.
No, do you really?
Your solution is just continue to be a dude and do the absolute minimum that you can to get by.
Here's the thing. I've dealt with, honestly, it's really strange. I actually have a really good client who is a wedding planner. She's great. She's funny. I love talking to her because I get all the dirt without having to deal with these people, really. And, oddly enough, the people that are usually difficult are the guys who are involved with the wedding planning. It's weird. It's like they want to be hands-on, and it's like, step back, sir. Just step back. If she shows you several versions of invites and stuff, just, you know, what do you think? Just throw it back on Dr. Jen. I'm not kidding.
Well, it'll be. No, she's done a lot. She's done an awful lot, and she's done a really good job.
To help her out, here's the thing. Here's something that if she feels that you're not helping out, which I'm sure you are, do a small segment, like you'll order the flowers or something like that. You know, if you want to feel like you're helping out in the wedding process, pick a small project, flowers or something. I'm not kidding. It's amazing on how that works out really well. Pick a small thing. Not the invites, not the save. Did you do a save the date?
Yeah, we've sent a save the date.
Okay. So you're on the way. You're doing okay so far. So, yeah, if you want to do something cool, say, hey, I'll order flowers. You know, here's the thing. If you have a really good way of, like, if you want to even break it down, like, to a less amount of stuff that you want to do, say you'll deal with, like, flowers for, you know, people in your family that have passed. And say, well, I'll get those for the remembrance of, you know, like, Grandpa Billy Joe or whatever.
That's actually a really good idea.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you cover the flowers for the groomsmen.
Right. Yeah. Well,
yeah, I don't think that you want to necessarily step up and take flowers for the wedding, because I don't see that as being a small job.
Well, no, but you can also do, like, flowers for, you know, people that can't make it to the wedding, you know, like elderly family members that may have passed on. People have been doing that. Like, here we have a bouquet for them. In remembrance. That's a nice gesture. But the thing is you are responsible for the the groomsmen's gifts. Just sure. So you know, yeah. So you yeah. do have that.
I was looking at some tonight.
Oh, and you are responsible, or your mom and dad are, for the rehearsal
dinner.
So
yes,
you might want to
think location
of,
okay. and
think
all the out of town guests will be invited.
Okay.
So.
Okay, that's good.
See, we are on to this thing.
You're doing good. Yeah, and I'm an expert on that.
I have a question that needs to be solved. I have a problem. Let's say, for example, you happen to be recording a podcast of some sort, and there's a liquid sitting next to the thing where you're recording the podcast at. And that liquid happens to tip over and fall onto the laptop of the podcasting recording device. What do you do?
Wow.
I gotta tell you, that's the biggest bullshit thing I've ever heard in my life.
you scramble around going, and try to find some ShamWows.
That really can never quickly. Happen.
ShamWow.
And you know what? You do it in such a way that you can record it so it sounds funny to other people who are listening.
Yes. Oh, well, we've got a little bit of time since no one's calling in. All of you, I see people out there, but nobody's calling in.
Hi, people.
I'm sure you guys, all these people have no problems whatsoever.
I did make sure I Twittered to shy people. You can always email if you don't want to get onto the phone, because I know some people are afraid of the phone, you know, because there are germs and things, you know, not as bad as your keyboard, but phones are just as bad. But
so
email us.
We do have some time then to go back to our previous segment, which was rocks versus the internet or the web. So here's some more interesting questions that have been asked. Hold on. We actually have a caller. Let's see who we got here.
This call is for Help Me Rocks from
Cassette.
To accept this call, press 1. To send the call.
Cosette, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. So I have a question for Rox.
Go ahead.
I would like to know, I've been looking at a lot of listings on Etsy lately, and I can't help but notice that anything with an octopus on it is automatically considered steampunk these days. I like octopus, and I like steampunk, but I don't understand what those two things have to do with one another. Can you please help me?
I believe I can. These are misinformed people that are trying to cash in on your hard-earned money. If you look at the classic books of Jules Verne, it wasn't an octopus but a squid. For 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. So these people that are trying to, again, cash in on your hard-earned money, they're using the wrong sea creature to, buy for your money. I have seen that too, and I don't understand where certain things are going in the steampunk genre. I think if they slap brown on it, then they think anything could be steampunk. I love Etsy a lot, and sometimes people are just putting crap together and saying, here you go. And if you notice the things with the octopus, there's probably like 9 other tags as well. Am I correct?
Yes, that is true.
Right. So it's like, look, it's Tebow steampunk. We'll throw in hockey and lacrosse, crochet, art, and there you go. So they'll get somebody to click on that. So one day you'll see a Tebow football player as a steampunk thing, and people will buy it. How much was this thing for?
Oh, there's a ton of them.
Yeah, you know what? And it's by the same company. If you ever look at it, it's the same design from China. Probably from the same place the iPad comes from, that Foxconn. You know, there's no way you can tell what's really fabricated by your own hands on Etsy. You know, there's no real watchdog So they're just cashing in. If you look at any of the, if you attended the Need Coffee Fun Fest, you would have noticed that, you know, anybody will call anything steampunk, and it really isn't, you know.
Yeah, it's I bet Cosette's never been to the Need Coffee Fun
Fest. No, but if you do, if you go to Atlanta to DragonCon.
Well, perhaps I'll come this year.
Good, because you know what? DragonCon's better than Burning Man.
You can actually get tickets to DragonCon, as I understand it.
Yes, you can.
Thank you, caller. Thank you for calling in. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks very much, Rox.
You're welcome.
All right. So we do have some time to some more time to kill, if you will. Don't take that literally, please, Rox.
I
actually
won't.
Mean you have time to kill people. Do emos really have to cut their wrists? I want to become emo, but I'm too young to cut my wrists, and it will hurt, and I don't like pain, and I don't want anyone's opinion about how I can be emo if I don't like pain. Oh, well, I just want to know if I have to slip my wrists. Don't ask me how old I am, because I will report you.
No, you don't have to cut yourself. You know what's a cool thing? If you watch the Doctor Who show, I think this would be really cool, is you make those little weird, like, Sharpie hash marks that you've met up with the silence, and that was in the latest season of Doctor Who. As an emo person, you probably heard of Doctor Who. So if you don't want to slash your wrist, just color yourself with a Sharpie marker. And then you're making a statement.
All right. We also have another question here. Is can...
What do you think, Serve, about that?
I don't think you should ever cut yourself.
No.
There's just no reason to cut yourself. You can be emo. All you have to do is get some black nail polish and some black hair dye and wear a buttload of black eye makeup. And I think that's all it takes to be emo now. Yeah, I mean, it's just goth for younger kids, from what I understand.
Right, and then eventually you'll find steampunk. But don't buy that octopus thing from Etsy, because it's made in Foxconn, where they make the iPad.
All right, here we go. Can I fail a drug test after having sex the night before? I had sex with my girlfriend 30 minutes ago, and I'm worried that it will make me fail because something I heard about protein or something like that. No, she doesn't use any drugs.
No? Wait a minute. Okay. They're worried they're going to fail a drug test if they have sex the night before the drug test, correct?
Correct. That's what they're saying.
No, you will not fail. But if you smoke dope or marijuana while having sex, then you will fail the test. And it will have nothing to do with your girlfriend at all.
Okay.
Serve. Over to you.
I suppose in this case the question is more about a steroid drug test rather than like a marijuana or a cocaine.
I don't think you can hide steroids in somebody's vagina. I don't think it.
That's true. But I think that what he's implying is that his testosterone level would be higher.
No.
Which might tip off some kind of a.
Actually, wouldn't it deplete, actually, after the consummating act?
No kidding, it might. But. No, it won't, because the synthetic steroids are in so much higher quantities than anything that the male body could normally produce, even after an episode of coitus. So I think that person is safe to have as much sex as they want before a drug test.
Yeah. Look at Joe Namath. He used to play football right after coitus.
All right, and our last question for the evening. Can I tell by the smell of my husband's gas if he has been cheating? Here's some more. I know it sounds crazy, but Hubs usually has his own smell. The family always knows when he has passed gas, even if he tries to be funny and blame it on the dog. Lately, he has had to work late a few times, and each time he's come home, and his gas has smelled unlike anything I've ever smelled from him. Kind of like maybe he had Thai food or something. He says he has only been at work and not anywhere else, but something is definitely different. Do you think he's cheating?
Yes, I do. He's cheating with that woman with three kids and likes auto racing. And you know what? They're eating Philly cheesesteak or something, or whatever you find at those races. honestly, that's a good point of, you know, if his farts are changing in smell, he could be eating something different, because if you're at
Ladies.
Work, you're normally eating fast food, and I'm sure she's been around him while he's eating had eaten fast food and know the smell. So, you know what? I would chalk that up with, yes, he's cheating on you, because he's going out because you don't like Thai food. So you're, you know, so, yeah, he's cheating on you. Yeah.
Serve.
I have two potential answers to this. two lines of thought on this one. Number one, and the one that is most genteel, is perhaps he has developed a food allergy, like a lactose intolerance, because that can build up and become an issue over time. It's not always something that somebody has. Okay, that being stated as a kind of general, there is a decent answer to this question. Now, the terrible answer to this question is perhaps he's involved in anal intercourse, and that is changing the way that his gas smells.
Oh, wow. I didn't even think of that.
Well, on that bombshell.
On that, yeah.
Just remember, you can get hold. You can...
Please use a condom while you're engaging in anal intercourse, people, because you can get AIDS that way.
And don't use Thai for lube. Thai food
oh,
is
no.
a bad idea.
Wow. Then you'll know he's cheating on you.
Of course, you can leave a message for us, for Rox, if you have a problem and it needs to be solved, and there's no one else that can solve it for you. 888-665-8825. That's 888-665-8825, at least until the next Rox. Help me, Rox, and when we may have to change the telephone number after that. Oh, behind-the-scenes baseball.
We'll mix it up all the time.
All the time, so no
so
one knows how to get
find
hold of
us. Yes. Just like Skyrim or that Mass Effect, you have to find us.
That's it. That's clickbait that she just did. So
that's clickbait,
Someone says Mass Effect.
Type in a code of, let's see, in Skyrim, type in Linus. You'll find us.
Yes. 888-665-8825. Or you can email, if I recall correctly, helpmerocks@needcoffee.com. Is that correct, Rox?
That is correct.
All right. Serve, thank you for joining us.
You're most welcome.
And remember, people, this equals a better world.
I'm sorry, Rox. What did you just say there? We missed it.
I said, just remember, people at the Peanut Gallery, me helping you equals a better world.
Right. Until next time. I should have said, that's correct. Until next time.
Yeah. See the psycho.
For Rox and Serve, this is John saying, if you need help and no one else can help you, God help us all. There's always Rox.